Hebrews 12 from verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood, and you have forgotten that word of encouragement that addresses you as sons. My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Endure hardship as discipline. God is treating you as sons. For what son is not disciplined by his father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you are illegitimate children and not true sons. Moreover, we have all had human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of our spirits and live? Our fathers disciplined us for a little while as they thought best, but our God disciplines us for our good, that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make level paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed.
Good evening, 5 p.m. church. How are we going? Good, good, good. It's great to be with you this evening. I wonder when the last time was when you were, as they say, smash tired. I don't just mean you walked from your car and you got into the building, you felt like, I just need to sit down now. I mean the sort of bone weary, cannot stand but I have to kind of tired, a little bit like this girl. She just could not go on. I remember a time feeling like this. I was in late high school and my parents went away on holidays and left me the house to myself. So of course I invited a friend over to stay. And the next day we were going on an excursion to Canberra, but we were going down and back in a day. And so we thought it would be a great idea to stay up for the whole night before we went on that excursion. I don't know why we thought that would be a good idea, but we did. And so we got about entertaining ourselves for the night. We played lots of computer games. We watched a movie. We were starting to feel a little bit tired. It got to 2, 3 a.m. So we thought we'd play an epic 21-game tournament of table tennis in the garage, much to our neighbor's delight, the garage right next to their bedroom, banging on the garage door at 4 a.m. What are you doing? Anyway, we stayed up for the whole night. The sun came up. We went to school. We got on the bus. We went down to Canberra. We were firing. We thought, yeah, this was great. We were firing until about lunchtime. And then it hit us like a wall. And we were in one of the museums or one of those places looking at something really boring. I can't remember what it was. Just with that feeling of, oh, I need to sleep. But it was hours before we were getting back on the bus. So we kind of staggered around in this fog. And we finally got back on the bus and both of us fell asleep. It's sleep so deep that people were shaking us when the bus stop got us back to school. That kind of weary. Now, you can feel like that without doing extreme things. You can get to that point where you feel like maybe I just can't stand up anymore, even with just the busyness of life, with the rhythm of life. And sometimes you can even get to that point in your spiritual lives. We can feel like we've been on a road with the Lord and we've been going strong, but now the wall of tiredness has caught up with us and it's really hard to lift the leg to take the next step walking with Jesus. We can feel weary. Now, what if I could tell you tonight that there was a way not to get to that point in your spiritual lives? What if God had something to say to us tonight to prevent us from getting to that point of weariness in our spiritual lives? And because there may be some here tonight who are getting to that point right now, and they need to hear what God has to say tonight. Well, tonight marks the last in our series, Renew, Rest, Restore, and Rebuild. We've taken some time to look at the four words of comfort that our Anglican forebear, Thomas Cranmer, found in the scriptures. He put it into the service that most Anglicans go through every single week. We've seen that Jesus offers rest for those who are weary and heavy laden. We've seen that God loved us so much that he gave us his one and only Son. We've seen that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And we've seen that Jesus Christ is for us right now as our advocate. Last week, John opened up that passage from Philippians. He said, God wants us to work out our salvation with fear and trembling because it's God working within us to make that happen. And so tonight, as we finish this series, we want to look at how we can make that happen without losing heart or getting weary. And there are three things that our passage has to tell us tonight about not getting weary. So let's take them one at a time. Three things that we see in Hebrews chapter 12 and the first three verses. The first thing is just to understand the run. Understand the run. One of the great things about the Bible is that it's real. It talks about life as it really is. And that's what we would expect from the mouth of a God who created the reality that we live in. But it's what we find in his word. And here's one of the great examples of that. Because in Hebrews 12 verse 1, the Bible says that life is a race. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Life is a race. But it's not like an egg and spoon race at a preschooler's little carnival day. No, the word for race here in the original language is agone. It's the word that we get our English word agony from. The same word. And so, in other words, this race is going to be tough. It's going to be hard. And that's reality, isn't it? Life can be tough. Life can be hard. Life is a race. But if it's a race, we need to understand what sort of race it is. We need to understand the run because you approach different races in different ways. If you are going in a sprint, then what you can do is you put all your energy in for just a short time until you get to the finish line. But if it's a marathon, you need to use your head. You've got to get into a rhythm. You've got to play the long game. You have to know when to spend energy and when to conserve it. And life is a race like a marathon. It's not a sprint. That's why the writer to the Hebrews says, run with perseverance. You don't have to persevere in a sprint. It's all in. But in a marathon, you have to persevere. You have to keep on going. Now, I have a friend who actually runs ultra marathons. These are races like 100 kilometers and even longer. Apparently, she does this for fun. I don't get it. I told her anything over 300 meters, I use a car, right? But when I asked her about this sort of racing, she told me about the importance of diet, of training, and of discipline. She said, if you don't eat the right diet, then you run out of energy during the race. Your body just doesn't have the fuel to call on to be able to finish. And if you don't train well, if you don't stay in training, then your body loses condition to be able to manage the really hard parts of the race. And being able to eat right and train well requires discipline of mind and discipline of practice. And it strikes me it's the same with the ultra marathon of the Christian life. We need the right diet and training and discipline to be able to run with perseverance. Now, our diet in the Christian life is the Word of God. If you turn away from the Word of God and start filling your mind with the sugar of entertainment and trivia and social media, then what you'll get is a short-term buzz, but you'll run out of energy for the long haul. But if you keep feeding on the Word of God regularly, it will make your spirit strong to overcome any obstacle, especially as you get further into the race. Our training is living out the Word of God in the church and in the world. We hear God tell us that we've been given spiritual gifts to serve, and so we put that into practice. We serve. We hear God tell us to be humble, and so we consider others better than ourselves here in church and out in the world, in our workplaces, in schools, in universities. We hear God tell us to gather together, to encourage one another and to be fed and to praise God together. And so we gather. We gather in small groups to feast on God's word, and we gather in large groups as we come together on Sunday. We hear God tell us to steward well the resources that he's placed in our hands for the very short period of our lives. And so we hear that word and we give of all that we have generously. Our diet, the Word of God, our training, and if we're going to do those things well, we've got to be disciplined about it. See, the runner trains whether they feel like it or not. I'm guessing my friend, when she's training for her next ultra marathon, and she's got a day scheduled for a 30K run to get her body in condition, and she wakes up and it's bucketing with rain, she doesn't go, "Oh, well, I don't feel like it today, so I won't." It doesn't work like that. It takes discipline to do it, whether you feel like it or not. And the Christian who wants to run with perseverance gets into the Bible and gets into serving and gathering and giving, whether they feel like it or not, because they have the bigger picture in view. To run the ultra marathon of the Christian life, we need our diet, training, and discipline. We've got to understand the run so that we won't grow weary. But the second part of understanding the run is to see that we know where the race is going. I don't know whether you've ever felt like you don't know where your life is going. I've felt like that sometimes, particularly in the hard seasons of life. You think, where is it all going? But there's a reassuring message in our passage. The path that we run is already marked out. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. My boys have run cross-country races out at Eastern Creek at the raceway there. And the course goes right out the back, right away from the spectators and right away from where all the officials are. But even though it goes out there, they know where to run because the race has been marked out for them. At every step of the way, somebody who knew where the path had to go and knew where the end was went around marking out the race with flags and cones. And so if the runners just stay on the path and keep running, then they will get to the end. And it's the same with the Christian life. If you stay on the path and keep running, you will cross the finish line. You will get home. The race will end, and there will be rest. Even when you can't see around the next bend, or you can't see over that next hill that's just risen up before you, and you don't know how you're even going to climb it, even when you can't see where the path goes over, the race is marked out, and it leads all the way home. So the first thing we need to do to not grow weary and lose heart, we need to understand the run that we're on. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And so we've got to treat it like that with our diet and with our training, with our discipline. And know that the path leads home even when we can't see round the next bend. So what's the second thing? The second thing that we need to do from our passage to run with perseverance and not grow weary is to throw off the weight. Now, to help us understand that, I've picked out beforehand a vibrant athletic volunteer, Mr. Josh Hawkins. Come on up here. Come on, help him up. Now, come here to, here's a stage we prepared earlier. All right, now, as you can see, a wonderful specimen of humanity. You're feeling strong, you're feeling fit, you're feeling healthy?
Yeah.
Okay, good. You're filling me with confidence here. It's wonderful. Now, I reckon that if we asked you to, you could do a lap around these chairs and come back here pretty easily. Do you reckon you could do that?
Yeah.
All right. You're up for it? You up for it?
Ready.
Okay, let's go. Let's do it. Let's see.
Timing
starts now. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine, ten. Run like Tom Cruise. I lost count. Look at that. 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Give him a hand, ladies and gentlemen. Well done. Maybe not so fit as I thought. Now, that looked pretty easy for him, didn't it? Now, let's see how we go if we try and hinder your path a little bit. Okay, so I've got some things to help me do that. Here, whack that on your shoulder like that. There we go. That's my cricket kit. Not many runs in there, but never mind. Put that one, let's put that over your other shoulder like that. Okay, no, that's not enough. All right. I think you need to fill up. You put that in hand there. And this is nice and easy. Just hold that one with your other hand. All right. Now, how do you reckon he's going to run loaded up like that? How do you reckon it's going to go? Thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs down, most people. Okay, but let's add another piece of complexity. I've got to come down here to do this. We've hindered him a little bit. But let's see what will happen if we can tangle him up as well, right? So we're just going to kind of go around like this.
Ooh, Keith.
We're just going to tie up a little bit like that. All right. Tangled and hindered. Now, how do you reckon he's going to run? Let's see how... Go on, ready, set, go.
One.
All right. Now, what I want you to do is keep doing laps till I finish talking, Josh, all right? All right, give him a hand. He's done very well. Now, let me just ask you as you come down there, do you feel a bit more tired than when you did it without that stuff on?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah, okay, That's what I asked you to say, so well done. Excellent. Now, you get the point, right? If you're trying to run while you're loaded up and you're tangled up, you're going to get weary pretty quickly, okay? And it's the same in the Christian life. Have a look, Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. There's two things we need to throw off if we're going to run and not get weary. The first thing we need to throw off is the sin that entangles. Now, all sin is bad. God hates all kinds of sin, every way that we break his law. But some sins make running the race for God nearly impossible. Greed is one. It's really hard to trust in God's provision when you're always desperate to have more. It's very hard to be generous as God commands us to be generous when you've got two hands closed on whatever you have. Pride is another sin. It's very hard to be humble and consider others better than yourselves, as we're commanded in that passage from last week from Philippians 2, when we're desperately worried about what everybody thinks of us and hoping they think that we're great. Sexual sin is another. The shame and the guilt that people carry when they are involved in that kind of behavior is like trying to carry a sumo wrestler on your back while you're running on the road with Jesus. How do you throw off the heavy weight of sin so you can keep on running? We heard it a couple of weeks ago. We confess it to God. If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess our sin to God and then we repent. We turn away from that behavior. We replace that with something else that's healthy. The first thing you've got to throw off if you want to run and not grow weary is sin that entangles. But the second thing you need to throw off is everything that hinders. It's important to see that not everything that can weigh you down is a sin. Some of those things that we try and carry on the road are just the result of unwise choices. You might be hooked on using your phone or looking at your phone, looking at social media. I can guarantee you, if you're looking at your phone right now and it's not your Bible, it's not helping you run the race with Jesus. If your habit is to come to church and when the sermon starts, you get on Facebook or you get on Instagram, you are trying to carry all that weight and you will get weary. Because what's being served up is a great diet to help you keep running. So throw off that kind of choice. Maybe it's people that you're hanging out with who are making it really, really, really difficult for you to live a holy life that gives glory to God. And we're not saying don't see those kinds of people, but be wise about the time and the places that you are with those kind of people, because they may be something that's too heavy for you to carry and you will get weary. Maybe it's a crowded diary. Maybe you're just overcommitted. And you look at your next week, your next month, and there's not an hour free when you're not at sporting training or studying or at uni or at school or work or something locked out. And you can't even remember the last time you opened the Bible to spend time with God. Now, that's not a sin to be busy, but it sure will hinder. And what it says here, if you don't want to grow weary, you've got to throw off the weight that hinders. What are the things that are hindering you from running and weighing you down? Pray to God for the wisdom to see them and the courage to change what you're doing so that you can run to the end. Understand the run, throw off the weight. Thirdly and finally, look up to the end. When I was talking to my ultra marathon running friend, I was asking her, what's it like towards the end of the race? Like, I can't even imagine. You're running a 100K race. You've run 80 kilometers. And you've still got 20 kilometers to go. I said, what is that like? And she said, it can get really tough. And I went, no, you're right. She said, your body is aching. Your mind starts playing tricks on you. Every footstep feels like it's the same and it feels like you're not actually going anywhere. But she said, when that happens, she thinks about the end and she thinks about crossing the finishing line and the feeling of coming so far. I've run 80 kilometers. How terrible would it be to stop now when I'm so much closer to the end? In other words, the joy of finishing spurs her on to keep running. And that's similar to what we see in our passage. The writer to the Hebrews tells us there are two things we see if we look up to the finish. Firstly, there's a prize that can motivate. Hebrews 12, 2 and 3. For the joy set before him, this is talking about Jesus, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, Jesus ran his race. He ran his race that included the agony of the cross, the ridicule of every earthly friend, the brokenness of experiencing the Father's wrath at the sins of the world. But he could face all of that because he looked up. And he saw the prize. He saw the joy. He saw the joy of the resurrection. He saw the joy of being seated at the right hand of the Father. He saw the joy of completing the Father's will. He saw the joy of securing the salvation of many brothers and sisters who would be with him for eternity, praising the Father for what he had done. And so it is with us, friends. We don't run the race of being a Christian because it's the easiest path, or because it's guaranteed to give you a successful life in the world's eyes. No, in fact, running this race will bring ridicule from some. It will bring tension in some relationships. It will mean we have to bypass some things that the world around us says are really important, like power, or like wealth, or like fame. But we look up to the finish, and there's the prize. The prize is eternal life with the source of all goodness. The prize is the joy of experiencing the Father's delight and pleasure forevermore. For the joy set before us, we endure whatever the race throws at us. We look up to the end, we see a prize that motivates us. And the second thing the writer tells us we see when we look up, there's a finisher who can help us. Hebrews 12 and verse 1, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. There at the finish line is Jesus, who's run and has finished the race. He's the pioneer in that he's the only man to ever have lived the perfect life of trust in God. And he's the perfecter of faith in that his suffering and death and resurrection made perfect the faith that he'd already shown in his earthly life. But he's not a rival. The fact that he's crossed the line before us is not bad news. It's the best possible news. For his winning result counts for us on God's leaderboard. The race that he has run is credited to us. And now he sends his Spirit to help us run the path that he's already run. The Spirit of the finisher is in those who are still running. And he promises to lift us when we are weary and struggling. For his death and resurrection prove that he is the Lord that Isaiah spoke about. The Lord is the everlasting God. Next slide. The creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Those who look up and see the finisher and hope in him will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How do we run and not grow weary? We understand the run. It's a marathon, not a sprint. And so diet and training and discipline are crucial. But the race is marked out for us all the way to the end. We throw off the weight. We put to death sin that entangles us through confession and repentance. And we throw off those things that hinder us by making wise choices. And we look up to the end. For there the prize awaits us, and there is a finisher who can help us every step of the way. And so, brothers and sisters, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, everyone who's run before us, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Let me pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the words of comfort that we've heard over these past weeks, that we are loved, that we are saved, that you give us rest, that you are for us. Father, now will you help us to run the race, help us to understand it's a marathon. And so what we do is crucial to running with perseverance and not growing weary. Help us to have a great diet of your word. Help us to have the discipline of being in it and be about our training of living out the word, whether we feel like it or not. Father, help us to throw off the weight, the sin that so easily entangles. Help us to see it and confess it. Those things that we're trying to carry that will weigh us down, help us to see them and put them aside. And Father, when we feel weary, help us to look up to the end, to see the prize that awaits before us, and to see the help that is on offer whenever we need it. Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy and your goodness towards us. Help us to run towards you till the very end. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.